Hello and welcome to the Level 3 podcast. Dr. Chris DiStefano here, and I have Dr. Michael Nucitelli. And Michael, you showed me iPredator, and we're going to just start right there because I'll tell you what. Actually, I want to start in one spot. I mentioned this to you in email. How do you do it? Because I avoid stuff like this in my life. It's an energy that I'm not in love with. So how do you keep yourself in the good place when you're dealing with the darkness?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on because we are covering, when you say the darkness, iPredator is a dark side of cyberspace concept. But in terms of dealing with the darkness, it falls on wanting to help. I'm a psychologist by trade. By day, I have a group practice and we work in several facilities. I work with the chronically mentally ill, schizophrenia, schizoaffective, a little bit of dementia, some developmental disordered stuff. So after work and on the weekend is when I, do my volunteer work where I help those that are being cyber attacked. And I've been doing that since 2010, but being a healthcare professional, I started working in the behavioral healthcare industry when I was 17. So it's been many decades that I've been doing this. I originally wrote iPredator back in 2009. In my past life, I was not only a clinical psychologist, but I was a forensic psychologist, and I would do forensic assessments within the criminal, I did some personal injury, also in the family courts. So I've always had a fascination with forensics, forensic psychology, criminal psychology. But around 2000, 2009 is when the light bulb went off, when I realized if I was a pedophile, if I was a criminal, if I was a deviant, where better to go than be cyberspace, the internet? Why? Because I could hide my identity if I so desire, or I could skew aspects of myself. So that is when the light bulb went off, and I wrote iPredator. iPredator is, as I said, a dark side of cyberspace concept that includes eight different types of online assailants. And I can shoot those all real quick, or we can talk about them a little bit later.
It's really up to you.
Well, okay, real quick.
I want you. I'm basically here to be the audience where
Okay.
you're going to say stuff, and I'm going to stop you because people don't realize a lot of the knowledge we have is just normal to us. You're going to use words, you're going to use phrases, and I'm going to be like, whoa, 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 let's dive into that. That's what my job
Okay.
is.
Well, and I like to present things in a very common sense way. I wish I could say I was super intelligent. It's just for me, it was common sense. Again, I've always been fascinated with the study of psychopathy, the sociopath, all that kind of fun stuff. And when I wrote iPredator back in 2009, is that's when I realized the psychopath. Now anybody can go and read what I present is called the online psychopath. Years ago, I went up to Canada and took the psychopathic deviant scale training by the father of psychopathy, Dr. Robert Hare. I mean, obviously he wasn't the presenter, but back then is when I learned about psychopathy, sociopathy, and really that's when it all started. That when you go online, if you so desire, you can completely hide your identity. In fact, now, with virtual reality and artificial intelligence, and that's going to become even bigger as we go forward. Here we're only in 2025. You can completely, utterly change your identity.
So before
And
we,
sure.
this is, you hit something. First of all, as medical professionals, as people that have gone through a little school, I tell my patients, if your doctor can't tell you that complex subject in plain English, walk out of that room because your doctor doesn't know what they're talking about. So I'm very, as a coach, I'm kind of strict on that. And I understand what you're doing, and I understand why, and I'm totally cool with it. But to the audience, you know what you're doing. I want to put that out there.
No, okay. So,
It's
but afterward,
valuable.
By day, again, MN psychological services, we work with the chronically mentally ill, as I said, schizophrenia, schizoaffective, some bipolar, but this is the chronically mentally ill, the seriously. These are folks that have been, disabled for decades. So I really do not address anything related to eye predator. Some of my high functioning patients are just
Oh
dabbling.
no, that's not where I'm going. Where I'm going is your capacity and ability to take. We're going to go into some pretty deep stuff. I'm getting the feeling. And your capacity to put it into English
Yes.
demonstrates a mastery of the subject. Anyone can run around using big words
Correct.
and try to talk over people. And for those of us that have played the game, that's the red flag. And you can't put it into English. You can't make your audience understand it. You don't know it. So that's where I'm trying to go. But a complete shift, because I can't wait to hear where we go. But I will want you to touch upon if it's possible to rehabilitate what drives these people. And also, completely different is with the rise of virtual reality, on the other side of it, you can have someone bringing up a 3-year-old child in their virtual thing and doing god-awful things.
Most
Now,
certainly.
it does keep it from happening in the real world, but to be carrying that type of energy, those types of thoughts, and eventually, for a lot of those people, that's going to lead. They're going to need more, because it's not a healthy, it's not like a normal appetite. It's a deviancy. So if you have any opinion or feelings on that particular question, I don't know if I was clear about what I'm asking, but if you do have any insights on the rise of VR from the other side, someone feeling a little bit pedophilia, being like, oh, I kind of might have a flavor for kids, and then brings up a 10-year-old and does horrible things that we would be appalled at. Do you feel like this could potentially also lead to a rise in people acting out?
Most
Or that's a,
certainly,
okay.
most certainly, because getting into some of the basic aspects, not to go into Carl Jung and Alfred Adler, who I look up to and who I hold hallowed to. But when we talk about eye predator, we talk about the internet, information and communication technology. In essence, it's all fantasy. It is not real. You and I, right now, we're looking at one another using a webcast. We're using Zoom. I mean, obviously, there is some semblance of reality to it, but in effect, the use of the senses, the five senses that we come into this world with for the purposes of self-preservation, procreation, so forth and so on, they are truncated in some manner. So, but when we get back to eye predator, if I may,
Please.
I'd like to give the eight typologies of eye predator, and then we can continue from there. So
Yes.
first and foremost, we have cyberbullying, the cyberbullies. Of the eight types of eye predator, cyberbullying is the only child-on-child cyber attacks. So children are the only ones that engage in cyberbullying, okay? And of eye predator, cyberbullying is the only pediatric typology. The adult manifestation or the adult forms of cyberbullying are your cyber harassers, your internet trolls, and then your cyber stalkers. And of those three, in my concept, the cyber stalking is the most serious, because with cyber stalking is when the cyber stalker is attending to control, to manipulate, but the victim experiences fear. All right, that is the cyber stalking.
It's bordering on the physical.
Yes, it's when a person starts to
So,
fear
yes.
their own physical safety. And this is not to say that children in their cyberbullying don't engage in cyber stalking. They most certainly do. So we have cyberbullying, which is between children. We
Yes.
have Internet trolls, we have cyber stalking, and we have cyber harassers. Then we have cyber criminals, cyber terrorists, and then the darkest or the most deviant of the AI predators is your online child predators and online child pornography consumers and distributors. Those eight make up the concept of AI predator. And very quickly, to know whether you or somebody that you suspect is targeting you is an AI predator, it's very common sense and it's very straightforward. One is the use of information communication technology to harm somebody. That's, we all pretty much now living in the information age. We are waking up, we are going to work, and we are going to sleep. Many of us using information communication technology. But the first criteria is the usage of information technology. The second criteria is a self-awareness that you're using information technology to harm, exploit, control, whatever, of another person and or persons. Or when we're talking about cyber terrorism, we're also moving into the realm of groups, if not nation. So we have the use of information technology, a self-awareness that the information technology is causing harm. And then three, which is a little bit more, is the use of what I call cyber stealth. And that's where we talked about it a little bit before. The third criteria is where I use information technology to harm, to exploit you, to manipulate you, to whatever I'm planning on doing. I use online deception
So
to
I
where
might throw a VPN in there, and
yes,
that's okay.
that's one thing. Sure, I can completely hide my identity so you don't know who I am. But under cyber state and online deception is I can skew what my true intentions are. When we look at online child predators, some of them create complete different profiles where they present themselves as a 15 or 16-year-old freshman that is going to the high school one county over from you. Okay. Or they do a slow online grooming where they don't really, divulge their true identity until they've established a relationship with their victim. So the third criteria is online deception, but it can be to completely hide my identity or it is to skew it. And those are the three criteria.
Got
So
it.
if those three criteria are occurring and it's occurring more than once, then you have somebody that's an AI predator. And that is what AI predator is.
And so there was that case. I'm sure you'd know it. It was so unusual. There was the I think it was a football player that had a fake girlfriend that
Okay.
and it
I do, like
devastated
I
him.
said, I've heard every the other thing for your listeners is after working on the weekends since 2011, I volunteer helping the cyber attacked. So over the last goodness 15, well, since 2000, where are we? 2014 years, I've helped good, I would have to say at least several hundred online users who have been cyber bullied, cyber stalked, cyber criminal. Online, the one element that I've never actually dealt with in my volunteer work is cyber terrorism. Thank God that actually hasn't happened yet. But I've heard everything under the sun in terms of what goes on when you use information technology and you're looking to hurt somebody.
So something, let's say, swatting might qualify,
Most certainly.
and that at this point, that's bordering on cyber terrorism,
Yes.
doxing, that type of stuff. So what do you see is the most common?
The most common right now, and thank you for bringing that up, because that also goes into the realm of personal information online safety. The big two right now for both children and adults is sextortion and revenge porn. Sextortion is if you're the AI predator. And the AI predator could be an ex-boyfriend, an ex-husband, ex-wife. It could be an ex-lover. It could be a friend. But sextortion is where I have sexually themed content, where I then now say to you, you being the victim, if you don't provide me more sexually themed content, whether it be images or video, I'm going to take those pictures or video, and I'm going to send it to your parents, or I'm going to send it to your job. Or I can just straight out blackmail you and say, you better Venmo me or PayPal me a good $1,000 or $2,000, or I am going to send that image. Okay, that
Oh
is
my gosh.
extortion, and that is client. I mean, that is going up in leaps and bounds. Revenge porn is just basically you end an intimate relationship with somebody, and they are so upset with you, and they don't take into consideration what they're doing. Revenge porn, they put out on social media intimate information, images, video of you that we used to do, way back when we were in love or we were intimate with one another. So sextortion and revenge porn are the big two right now. Clearly, when it comes to cybercrime, identity theft, ransomware, cybercrime is exploding. In terms of loss of money and finance, not just with individuals, but with companies, corporations.
I'm telling you, good backups. I used to work in IT. Pete, there's no good backups. That's the
Right.
ransomware. If
Right.
you had good backups.
Right.
But
Right.
that we don't need to go down that path. It's really pointless.
And for me, if I make it, is that for me, my expertise is the psychology, the cyber psychology. Again, being a psychology is the study of human behavior. Cyber psychology is the study of human behavior as it relates to information technology. So there are things that are going on from a cyber criminal standpoint that I am clueless.
So
I am
if
a, I'm sorry, go ahead.
let's say I have a jilted ex-lover and I made the mistake of taking some pictures of myself and sending it and the person. Now I reach out to you. What do we do? What
Well, it depends
happens?
on are you being threatened? Are you being extorted? How
Let's
they're
say
being.
I'm being sextorted because everyone wants to see a little more of me.
Okay. Well, if you're being sextorted, we would first have to, we'd have to address is, are they extorting you for money? Or what happens a lot amongst children is, are you being extorted for more sexual content? Okay. Obviously, both of them are very devastating. But from a psychological standpoint, my job would be, again, because I'm doing this on volunteer basis, is to assess how traumatized are you? Now, there are, one of the things that occurs in cyberbullying, again, with children, sextortion occurs. And one of the phenomena that are occurring today, well, as part of the information age, where I don't know about you and I, but I grew up in a pre-information age world. Today, children are inundated with technology, sextortion, but children who are the victims of cyberbullying, there is the new, concept phenomena called cybercide. And that is what a child takes his or her life because he or she is being cyberbullied online.
I was actually going to mention, I've seen a few of those in the news. It is absolutely horrific, the
Is
suffering.
absolutely
And
horrific.
it's primarily girls that I've seen it happen to.
Right.
But what was done to them? It's, the children, it's hard to not see them as monsters.
Exactly. Well, so for instance, as I said, I grew up in a pre-information age world. So when I was a child, I was bullied. Okay. I was bullied at school, I was bullied in the sports field. But the difference is, when I was a child, guess what? At the end of school, at the end of the day, I got to go home. I got to go back to my neighborhood, my friends, my family, my loved ones. I had sanctuary. I could escape. Okay. Today, in the realm of cyberbullying, children who are being cyberbullied are also being bullied. So they're not only being bullied at school, now they also get cyberbullied because those bullies now. It's called cyberbullying by proxy, and anybody can read the examples that I list. I have 42 examples of cyberbullying, but cyberbullying by proxy is not only am I targeting you and victimizing you and abusing you at school, Now it's the weekend, it's summer vacation, it's the
It's
holiday.
relentless.
I have manipulated many other kids, that may not even go to our school, and I have them now target you.
And they couldn't
So,
pick you out of a crowd of one, and they have
exactly.
nothing, but it becomes a sport.
Right.
It
And with
becomes a,
that,
yeah.
as it becomes 24/7, 365, where the child is being
Just
teased,
ground
being
down.
taunted around the clock.
That's all that, yeah.
So now what we're seeing now is cyberbully side, and that is very serious, and that also is growing.
Michael,
So
before you go on,
yes.
I do have to stop you for this because, I've been in dark places. I've spoken with plenty of people. And for parents, for loved ones, for friends, what do we look for signs that someone's going through this suffering? Are there any, because I know, in suicidal, there's a lot of hiding of the signs that happens.
Yes.
But what can we do? Because I would like to talk about prevention at
Of
a
course.
little later on because that's really important. But this in particular, if you have any insight in what someone can do to look for in a loved one, to begin a conversation with a loved one, because this is just beyond tragedy and it's way too common.
Yes, I mean, most certainly for parents and primary caregivers, as it relates to children and cyberbullying, is the number one red flag is a change in behavior, but is to isolate. Okay, when a child begins to isolate more, now there are children that are private, they have more internal locus of control, they're not big extroverts, but a parent or a primary caregiver will be able to tell when a child's attitude, behavior, their demeanor changes. That is a red flag when they become more secretive. Now, today, 10, 15 years ago, the desktop computer was in a central part of the home. Now, with mobile devices and cell phones and smartphones, children carry with them their information technology. So they can hide themselves in their room and they can do whatever they're doing, whether they are the aggressor, whether they're the cyberbully, or whether they're the victim. So clearly, if there is a change in behavior to where the child is isolating more, that is a red flag that there's something going on. And obviously, if you're the parent or primary caregiver, that allows them to bring their iPhone, their Android, whatever, cell phone device they have. If you're allowing them to go to their bedroom to be alone, well, you're affording them the ability to engage in all of that. So change in behavior is the number one thing.
And you brought something else up, which, I've had friends and I'm going to give a real shocker. Sometimes I've been kind of an asshole.
Okay.
And so the person who's bullying, and I never consider myself going to that level, but the person who's bullying is being stupid. But it also has to ruin their life. If they have a smidgen, not all the time, but if they have a smidgen of humanity, knowing that someone took their own life, that has to. So the parents of the bully, how do we spot that?
Well, if I may, now when we're talking about bullying and cyberbullying, all right, according to my concept, we're talking about children. I mean, obviously there is workplace bullying, there is adult
Oh no,
bullying.
I'm talking about the kids that bully
Right.
and then a child commits suicide. When we get to
Exactly.
that level.
The vast majority, again, I haven't spoken specifically to the victims, but from my research and everything in terms of dealing with understanding cyberbullying, is that when the cyber bully, the aggressor, is confronted, the vast majority of them say, "I was only kidding." So they externalize blame. They don't take full responsibility. Now, is it that because I also, maybe we could do a whole show on my types of cyberbullying, is that, I do believe that there are children who really, from a developmental maturational standpoint, they really don't understand the trauma that they're causing the child that they're bullying.
Yes, that.
There are those that think they're kidding, okay? But what the cyberbully, just like bullies, what they gain is peer acceptance and peer recognition.
Yes.
Okay. So oftentimes, so when we're talking about the cyberbully, we have the cyberbully, which is the aggressor. We have the cyberbullied, which is the victim. And then we have, which is the largest segment, is the bystander. And the bystander is the child who knows that the cyberbullying is going on, but does nothing about it. And the reason why that child does nothing about it is, one, they're afraid that maybe they will be targeted. Two, from a social psychology standpoint, they see it as they would be called a snitch or it would be uncool. That is the bystander. What we want to educate and we want to teach children about, which is the smallest segment of the bystander, is called the upstander. And what the upstander is a child that stands up for the victim, that goes to the adults, that sides with the victim and stands up, depending on his or her physical stature, may actually confront the bully at school. So what we want to shoot for is an increase, in the upstander segment of that total population.
You know, I've made a ton of mistakes in my life. We all have.
Well, we
I've
all have.
learned from a few of them. But one of my biggest regrets, and I don't hold a lot because a lot of it was learning, one of my biggest regrets was not sitting with the kid who was alone. Not being that person. So what you're saying there about the bystander being the key part really resonates strongly with me. And I feel like even beyond this context as a whole, becoming a society of caring people, becoming a strong, because that's a strength, that's a courage and a strength.
Yes.
And it's that's a beautiful expression of humanity. So just on its own as a standalone, it's one of the greatest things I can imagine instilling in ethics in a kid.
One of the things I have, again, I've been saying this for years, and not to get on my soapbox, but when I was young in high school, we had to take wood shop, we had to take metal shop. Wonderful stuff. I believe that as young as possible, even in elementary, it should become a compulsory educational requirement where every child takes a course. Another thing I had to take as a child in seventh and eighth grade is health class.
Yes.
Since we live in the information age and children, from the moment they get up to the moment they go to bed, they are enveloped by information technology. I believe schools, it's, as I said, an educational compulsory requirement where they take a class as early as possible where they are taught digital citizenship, how to conduct oneself, online. Online safety and everything related to being able to stay safe living in the information age.
I can see that. I can see that being a benefit. And I got to tell you this too. This is a forum for you to get on a soapbox. Your voice needs to be heard. So you don't apologize about that. You hop right up and start going.
Thank you.
So I do keep sidetracking you. I know we got eight things to go through. I feel like we're hitting the biggest stuff first. Probably when we get to perverts, I'll have a few things to say too.
Well, if I may, so because I don't know how much to, but just from an online safety standpoint, the number one, and again, anytime I have an opportunity to do a podcast like this, and by the way, thank you for having me on, I always say it three times: personal information, personal information, personal information. For anybody who watches, listens, this podcast, personal information. And this is not only research, this is from the hundreds of people I've spoken to and presented. The less personal information you put out there in cyberspace online, the lower risk you have of being targeted. Okay? Information can only be managed, manipulated in three ways. We can compile information, we can disseminate information, and we can exchange information. So you only three until maybe there's a new dimension someday. Those are the only three ways of being able to manage information. The less personal information you put out there, the better. I have worked, I mean, in my volunteer work, I have helped people that you almost want to go through through the phone and shake them and say, why would you ever send or share or send money? I mean, this is what catfishing is. This is where, you have eye predators that are able to manipulate their victim into falling in love. I have literally helped people, and I won't get into the specifics. I have helped people that have told me on the phone that have fell in love with an individual that they have met online that they have never actually seen in a webcast forum, nor have they met them offline, but have told me that they have in love with them. And what they fail to understand is it's all a fantasy.
It is.
Now, obviously, I know you're real. You know I'm real. But when you get into the realm of the eye predator and you get into, what I call eye victim intuition, eye predator victim intuition, everything changes. And that is the dark side of cyberspace.
Yes, and I'm going to elaborate slightly on that. And that is, it doesn't make you dumb.
No,
I know plenty of
thank
smart
you.
people. I know someone who was just walking around with a shoebox with $20,000. Thankfully, some relatives talked her out of giving the money. It doesn't make you dumb. It doesn't. Most hacking is not done by zeros and ones. Most hacking is done via social engineering.
Yes.
We're talking about some of the ransomware, Fortune 500 companies. We are 100% dialed in. It's social engineering. There was just a ton of Bitcoin that was lost, all this stuff. So if someone's calling up and asking questions that you don't want to answer, don't. If
Right.
someone starts probing, if you don't know them, don't. If they claim to be an authority, and it was the best thing. Sometimes the world just gives these gifts. I was literally talking to a patient about how I get these fake calls from, I believe, the IRS, and they tend to be Indian accents, but say their name is Robert, and it's hysterical. As I'm talking to him, I got that call. And this guy is saying he's IRS, and he's Indian, and he's using the most American name. And it was the most ridiculous. We were just laughing because it was absolutely perfect timing. It was a gift. But just to hammer the point home, yeah, verify. We don't have to go around paranoid, but the more you give them, they build the profile on you. They build you. They
Yes.
look up other information. Now they know stuff. They know about your relatives. They know about your finances, possibly. They know things. You give them a little. If they're any good, they get a lot, and they use it all against you.
I helped a woman again. We're going many years ago. We're talking about 7, 8 years ago, where, she was using Facebook and she was announcing that she was going down to the Jersey Shore. She was all proud of it. Her Facebook profile was set to public. Okay. And she's announcing, she's writing, she can't wait to go down to Wildwood and what she's going to do. And she's even talking about and posting the dates that she's going to be there. Well, she goes down to the Jersey Shore for the long week, comes back, and guess what? Her entire house had been rooted through because obviously is, criminals, cyber criminals, first cyber, then criminals were able to know when she would be gone. They went, broke into her house and gutted all her belongings. So that is just one small thing that occurs. It's understanding the personal information. And when we get comfortable online, when we have online associates, but yet we've never met them offline, or maybe we've even met them offline, but we really don't know, and we share personal information about ourselves. Or let's say I have eight different social media profiles, and in each profile, I put in little bits and pieces about my life and what I'm doing, what my life is, what I do, and LinkedIn, I post where I work. Okay. And what a good eye predator does, he takes every one of those little crackers and he creates a profile. And now he's able to target you. And that's when you begin to move into these areas of really where what I call, I mean, we can do a whole show on what I call the predatory troll. That's something completely different that we can talk at a later date. But when it comes to personal information, it's knowing the less personal information you share, the safer you're going to be. Now, you can't completely isolate yourself from being targeted because it does happening, but there's clearly a correlate. The less personal information, the better.
And you said something important too. Specify. The woman shared it with the world on Facebook, not with her friends.
Exactly.
A stranger doesn't need to know this. So not only modulate and monitor what you share, and frankly, we tend to overshare. It's really not interesting to other people.
Exactly.
But also pay attention to who you're saying it to.
Yes.
Know your audience. Protect yourself that way.
Now,
So,
that is an excellent point that you bring up. If you don't mind, could you say that again? Because I swear to you, I must say that 40% of the times when I'm doing my volunteer phone calls, and I give my little bit of my little spiel on what they can do going forward, but you hit the nail right on the head.
what,
Is
know
to
your
just
audience, know who you're sharing with.
exactly. But one of the things, and this is another concept, is a sub-concept of eye predator, and this is the real these cyber psychology. You have eye predator, which there are these eight online assailants. They all have differing aspects, and it's like I'm, personality, whatever you want. But when you have both the assailant and the victim, it's a concept. I know it's, it's ODOR, the acronym, ODDOR. Offline distress dictates online response. And what that means is, however my offline life is going, my psychological functioning, I don't have to be suffer from an axis one or an axis two psychiatric or, personality disorder. If I am angry, if I just got in an argument with my husband, my wife, my boss, if I am depressed, if I am manic, excited, if I've had a couple of drinks at the local bar, if I've smoked a nice big joint, whatever's going on in my offline world has a direct, an absolute direct impact on what you do online.
Yes.
Offline distress dictates online response. And I can't tell you how many times where people who have been targeted, who have lost, who have been exploited, when you ask them a little bit about what were they doing beforehand, oftentimes they were upset, they were discouraged, they were angry over, for something that occurred at work. So that is something very important when you go online. It's understanding that, and again, I'm not saying you have to go, meditate, but understand that your feelings is going to be, it's going to impact what you do online, how you compile information, how you disseminate information, and how you exchange information. Well, if you're not happy and you go online, not only can you be too aggressive with others and piss them off, but you can send messages to who? The eye predators that are sitting back and they're watching and they're learning. Okay. Eye predator victim intuition. That walks hand in hand with odor. An eye predator, if they're good, again, not all eye predators are online psychopaths are advanced. But there are eye predators that are able to look at you, and over the course of time, they can quickly estimate whether or not you're discouraged, whether you're angry, whether maybe you have some neurotic condition, so forth and so on. And they're an eye predator victim intuition. They learned how to know whether or not you would be a good target.
Yeah, they are profilers working on the wrong side.
Most certainly. And it's
So
not just And it's not just what you're saying, it's what you're posting. So
There's a
if you're
lot.
posting information, it's not just the text that you're posting, it's the imagery that you're posting, it is what you're saying, it's what you're all that information a good eye predator can really,
Well, you know,
compile.
even on the legit side, we're giving it all to the social media companies. We're just handing them. They Google
Exactly.
knows what I'm going to do before I do.
Exactly,
And
exactly.
I'm not making that up. But you
No,
said
yes.
something, and I really want to, because this is sort of falling into what I'm passionate about. Like really passionate about. And that is, you shouldn't, you know, I'm not saying to go meditate. I am saying go meditate. Because when we're coming from that place of incompleteness, when we're coming from that place of insecurity, when we're coming from not knowing who we are, that's when, because as we know who we are, now I'll step up, I'll sit with the guy that has no one sitting there. I'll stand up for someone because I'm not afraid to speak with the truth. I don't care what the social consequences are now. I also look at people with a breakup. You're going to have that toxic codependency. You're going to have that neediness. And they're literally, so someone who's healthy with it, that loves themselves, even in a breakup, is not going to be throwing out feelers for anyone to give them attention. It's this attention-seeking behavior coming from an internal sense of lack, neediness, incompleteness, compensatory, whatever you want to spin it as. Because I hadn't really thought of it this way, but it is, the better we love and know ourselves and the happier we are, we're not going to want to create this Instagram life. We might post pictures, but
Exactly.
we are not going to become that narcissist. So it really is underlying security, underlying self-love really is a powerful tool for protecting some of these vulnerabilities.
Most certainly, most certainly.
Okay. Yeah, because we haven't gotten to protection yet, but you know, we're touching upon a lot of things. So let's go through the rest of these if we can. Harassment, you know, anything that would be spectacular, notable, people should just watch out for, interesting, whatever.
Yeah, cyber harassers are online users who, and again, I pray remember we're talking about repeated occurrences. So a cyber harasser can be an online associate, can be a friend of yours, and really what happens with the cyber harassment is that, forgive my New York language, it pisses you off.
Yeah.
The goal of the cyber harasser is to kind of get you angry, okay? But then what you have is the internet troll. Now, the internet troll is usually somebody you don't know. It's an online user. The internet troll is the individual that is looking to provoke you, to engage you in what the kids call flaming or flame wars.
Sounds like all of social media. Sounds like everyone on Twitter. I promise you.
Yes. So you have internet trolls, and again, maybe we can talk a little bit about the predatory troll, but so the cyber harasser really is of all eight of the typologies of eye predator is probably the less severe of all of them. Then you have the internet troll who is looking to provoke you, and if he or she is able to provoke you, he gives him or herself the proverbial pat on the back because he got you upset, and then he's able to comment and say, "Look what I did."
Yeah.
Okay, and then as that we mentioned earlier is when we talk about cyber stalking. Cyber stalking has just like chocolate, ice cream has different flavors. Cyber stalking has different different flavor. Cyber stalking can be as simple as online surveillance. Okay, to cyber stalk, to stalk something is, cyber stalking is, you're collecting data, you're collecting information about somebody because eventually you're going to target them. But cyber stalking is also is actively targeting the online users to where they begin to fear for their own physical safety or their own livelihood. So now the cyber stalker is me communicating to you is when you walk outside of your office, you better check your back tires to make sure there's no nine penny nails in the back in those tires. Okay. The cyber stalker is looking to control you by frightening you. Okay. And that is the severest form of those three. I would say of all the calls that I've done over the years, the internet trolls slash cyber stalkers are the most prevalent. I mean, obviously, I've helped with the others. I mean, cybercrime is something, but when we're talking about cybercrime, that's when online safety comes into play. That's when, you shouldn't click on, links that come through your email or attached files. You shouldn't open those that you don't know who that is.
Yes.
So cybercrime is a huge umbrella that includes, online child predation, online child pornography, and even cyber stalking, we can throw under cybercrime. But
Yes.
cyber stalking and internet troll from a help standpoint has been the most prevalent. But then when we get to the darkest, as I said earlier, is online child pornography and online child predation. And that is really where our country, just social, we have to work to try to begin to address this because it is really getting out of hand.
Well, yeah, we used to have well, there's a lot. It's unfortunate because I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it. In some respects, it appears there's a blind eye turned towards some of it. And
Yes.
it is appalling and I believe non-reflective of societal values. And there is a rise in vigilantism, and I'm not happy about that. But this is it's unfortunate, but this, we have the people that entrap people and put videos on YouTube. They pretend to be a 14-year-old girl, and some pervert goes to Target to meet them, and then they. It shouldn't have to be like that for anyone.
Well,
But
one of the good
anyway.
things, if I may, and not to get political, okay, whether you're Republican, Independent, Democrat, we do have a Republican president by the name of Donald J. Trump. But what most I am happy about, Melania Trump's her educational platform is returning for, I don't know, for your fun. It's called Be Best.
Yeah.
And Be Best is addressing online abuse.
Oh,
And that
good.
is what iPredator is all about. And
Yeah.
again, not to stump here for Melania Trump, but for the next 4 years, Be Best is a platform that I'm certainly, for instance, if you go to my X account, formerly Twitter, Michael Mucciatelli is the creator, blah, blah, blah. And the only hashtag I use in my little profile at X is Be Best. Because it really is looking to target to address, online safety, but online abuse. And obviously, online abuse with children, but also applies to adults as well when we're talking about sextortion.
Yeah, there's obviously I'm going to name a few. I'd like for you to fill in the blanks. Steps parents can take to be aware of it. If the child's behavior changes suddenly, that may be a red flag. Keep an eye on kids' access to internet. Have a talk with kids. What would you recommend? Because that's what I that that's what just as a parent, what I would say to protect my kids from this type of activity.
One of the most ridiculous ideas I came up with years ago, I call it digital dinner. So that you make it with whether you're the parent, the primary caregiver, the aunt, the uncle, and let's just say every other Wednesday or every Wednesday, we get pizza and it's digital dinner. And that is the time where the family, whether it's a single mom, whoever it may be, sits down with the children, whatever their age, we eat our pizza and the parent slash primary caregiver has to, even if they're a PhD in technology, they have to become the student to where they look to the child and say, so tell me about Instagram or tell me about Snapchat or, what's really big right now is online gaming, multiplayer online gaming, the multi-billion dollar industry. where the parent, primary care, the adult sits back and slowly but surely allows the child to be able to teach them about what's going on in their internet life. Now, obviously, the prepubescent child or the teen, the tween and the teen, they already, from a developmental standpoint, looks at their parent primary care as a square as being uncool. So if you as a parent can present that you are a dunce when it comes to understanding Snapchat or whatever the online gaming may be, you begin to create a form to where they teach you. They already look at you as a square anyway, but if this is where you begin to create a form to where you get them to teach you about their online lives. And once they start to feel themselves as being the authority at the dinner table, now you can then begin to ask certain questions that need to be asked. How much time are you spending online? Jimmy, the kid that you had over, that's when you can talk about the bystander, the cyber bully, and then most importantly, to begin to inject the concept of the upstander.
I like that a lot, and the it's such, I love that reversing of the dynamic, because I'm a very different kind of parent. I don't even like to use the word children, because I feel like it's become such a it's such a top-down view. I view them as human beings, no different. Obviously, with learning to do, with maturing to do in that respect, but their humanity is equal to mine. They're just at a different stage in life. And a lot of parents, because that's, we don't know better, it's very much this top-down force. And so by reversing the dynamic with curiosity, it does build a level of dialogue and trust that would never happen with a conventional approach of I'm the parent, you listen to me. It would never happen with that.
And if you have a child who is discouraged, depressed, unhappy, however you want to define it, let's just say discouraged, they are at a much higher rate of when they're going online to be manipulated. Or they could be at a much higher rate of being an actual cyberbully and aggressor. So if you're the type of parent who is hands-off and you don't get involved in the child's internet online life, my goodness, your child's at a much higher rate of being targeted, much higher rate.
Well, your child is literally out there asking to be a victim. Literally a predator would not even have to think. Those they would pick, they pick up the smell. Those red flags, psh, like flares getting shot off.
Yes, the online child predator looks for the discouraged child.
The
Once
tells
he
are right there.
exactly.
They'll be
Thank you.
posting, I'm a little older. I'd say they'd be posting Morrissey songs or something like, some real depressed stuff.
And once he, the most often, but now we're starting to see there are female child predators. What happens is with the online grooming process is, man, you're the greatest. You're smart. It's too bad your parents don't understand how smart and savvy you are. But the one thing you have to promise in our exchanges here, when we webcast, we have to keep it a secret between you and me. Because if your parents ever find out about really what we're talking about, or even the fact that you know me, okay, then they're going to call the police and they're going to shut us down. So this is where the online grooming occurs, but I know for sure online child predators, they look for the discouraged child. And once they find it, they slowly but surely, wean their way into the child's mind.
Yeah, very, very easy mark. That's awful. So, yeah, as a parent, again, this is the type of stuff that keeps parents up at night. and for good reason. And it's really powerful. And you have a lot of information on your website too. And it's really powerful for parents. I recommend everyone read through. Get a technique. Like, I love that. Ask your kid about technology. Flip the script. Open up the dialogue. Create the trust. Create, like, make it work. It's not up to your child. It's up to you.
Right. And
Because
one of the things that everything at my website is free, it's public domain, it's educational, it doesn't cost you a dime. One of the blogs, I have 30 different cyber attack risk assessments for parents, for teens, for cyberbullying, cyber stalking. My most recent blog post is I've listed all 30. Maybe down the road we can do a show because this is growing, is internet addiction. So I have the internet addiction risk checklist. I have the parenting cyber safety checklist. I have checklists, which is you're pretty sure you know what you're doing, so you just want to check it off. Then you have my inventories, which are more geared toward inquiry. You're not quite sure. So there's some redundancy in the 30 assessments, but if they're all free. You print them out. If you don't like them, blow your nose with it and throw it in the garbage. But it's all free and it's all there. And what it's attempting to do is not just getting the parent, the online user, the business, is to remember, not remember, is to realize we are living in the information age, and it's only going to continue. And as you know, we discussed very early on, virtual reality and artificial intelligence, my friend, a century from now, it is going, we are not, we can't even comprehend what is coming down the road in terms of virtual reality and artificial intelligence. So really, a century from now, they're going to look back at my work and they're saying, my God, this guy was like a caveman, scribbling on the walls. I mean, how far we're going to go when it comes to these types of technology is just incredible.
AI is already making deep fakes that we can't tell the, but I would have to, like, it's going to sound old school, but my protection for it is I just keep strengthening my own ethics.
Exactly.
You have to know, I have to know who I am
Yes.
without question, without influence, and that is the most powerful protection. You know, I've sort of circled back on that a couple of other times, but just everything you're saying keeps bringing me back to that. It's so important to, and that's the other part for real. As a parent, as a person, there's a certain when we have presence and self-awareness, some things don't pass the sniff test as easily. We're not coming from desperation, just grabbing things. We're more attuned to the subtle. So when our children have small changes, we notice them right away and we approach from the heart. And we can talk all day about the difference, you approach a person from the heart, it will be a very different engagement than when you're coming from a place of fear as a concerned parent. When you're coming from that place of love and support as a present parent, you're a different person. So I like to say all the time, there's only one person I can ever change, and I'm working on that every day.
Exactly.
It's what I do. So did we get through the whole list? Yeah, we got to the perverts too.
Yeah, we've got them all. I mean, maybe down the road someday we can do a show, a discussion on, internet addiction. That is growing in leaps and bounds.
Oh, that would be fun.
It's
No, I'm
a
serious.
no, I would be more than honored to do something on internet addiction because, I mean, it's not just online gaming. For myself, I am a, my doctorate degree is in clinical psychology. Okay. I go to work every day. And where do I do my I have an electronic record, therapy notes. So all
Yes.
my records, all my notes are done online. Now, there's no addiction quality to that. Many of my patients, okay, I'll go to YouTube, I play them music occasionally, well, not just occasionally, I print out articles, I show them. So I'm using information technology pretty much not just from the moment I get up to the moment I go to bed, but for a large part of my waking life.
And
Now
yeah, I've
imagine.
12 minutes of downtime. There I am burning it up on Twitter, getting a few dopamine hits and
Exactly.
trolling a couple of people that are sadly misinformed.
Yes, they call it the disinhibition effect, is that they've been able to show that for many of us, when we go online, the disinhibition effect, it somehow affects the serotonin, dopamine. And internet addiction is something that's growing. Not that we have it, but slowly but surely, I know a couple of the Asian companies, actually countries, I think maybe Korea, actually have treatment centers for those that become internet addicted. So internet addiction is growing.
It
Um,
is.
and obviously, you can understand why, because people are spending their entire lives online.
I am so hopeful that we've hit an inflection point. I believe we're healing. I'm so hopeful of that.
I'm hopeful as well.
You
I
don't have to
wish.
agree.
I,
I
it's not
never.
that I. It's not that I disagree. I just, again, I see it. You say the dark side of cyberspace. It
Yes.
is. It's an amazing. And now, mind you, I'm a psychologist, and in my past life, I was a forensic psychologist. So I worked in the courts. I assessed TV. The things that people are doing to one another online, to one another now,
Yes.
and again, I'm not a religious man, although I feel I'm spiritual. I like to study and learn about theology, but when I say evil, I mean evil. I mean, we're talking not just sexual deviant, but for instance, the University of Manitoba back in 2014 did a huge study on internet trolls, okay? And what they developed is the dark tetrad, okay? For they found that internet trolls were at much higher rates of being psychopathic, sadistic, Machiavellian, and narcissistic. The dark tetrad.
Yes.
It's amazing what people will do to one another. And what it comes down to, Chris, is, were we always doing this to one another in pre-information age world? Or is it now because I can hide behind a computer screen or a mobile device, I feel a sense of freedom to where I can be incredibly, incredibly deviant, incredibly aggressive and abusive? Why? Because you're nothing more than an image on a screen. I've
Yes.
yet to figure that out.
Well, it's one of the most fascinating things to me is two of the biggest trolls right now are Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. And I have a funny sense of humor. They are hysterical the way they do it. Like, you don't have to agree or disagree, but there's a level of intelligence and wit. And I believe all four of those characteristics that you listed, they exhibit to a degree, as does anyone in that high position. It attracts it. But I do believe that we have, it's almost like Victorian. There's the level of censorship. People don't realize what happened during COVID. We don't communicate anymore. There's not free communication. And people are venting in a variety of ways. People are also learning to take it offline. That's why I think we're healing, because the amount of damage that's been done by the regulatory bodies, by the governmental bodies, by the trusted authorities, what the damage that they've done to their institutions has driven people together. Paradoxically, it's the outliers that have drawn together, but it's happening. And I like that momentum. I always say it. I could be wrong. I'm okay with that.
Well,
I
if
really
I
am.
may, I mean, you bring up a good point. So, because the term, like when we talk about, Donald Trump, Putin, Zelensky, all of the geopolitical stuff that's going on, even when we're talking about celebrities, public figures, so they use the term they're trolling each other, which is
Yes.
fine. The difference is, though, trolling each other is different than being an internet troll. Okay. There are certainly
It's
several.
degrees. There's a
Yes.
level of joviality and not trying to, the knife is not as deep or as sharp. It's done in a,
Exactly.
like when Putin said, after Fauci got his pardon, and Putin said, as part of any peace agreement, you can send me Fauci for crimes against humanity.
Right.
That was a high-level troll. Like, but in the jovial sense, not it. And I know what you're talking about. The people, like, I've seen them online. And honestly, I'm sure you've done the same thing. I've had people that I agree with who exhibit this level of cruelty and malice, and I will as quickly shoot them down as someone who says something that I disagree with, because it is unacceptable. And I think if more of us do that, mute them, shoot them down, block them, just isolate them, because it's disgusting. And I can't be part to that. And I can't.
And one of the things that we could talk about, maybe again, we could do a whole show on, is called the predatory troll. I brought that up a little bit earlier, where the internet troll is looking to provoke, and through provocation, they feel good about themselves. They have an agenda. The
Yeah.
predatory troll, okay, which is, you have the classic troll, the classic internet troll, but then you have the predatory troll. The predatory troll is not just looking to provoke you, not just looking to give him or herself the proverbial pat on the back. They're looking to take you out. Okay. I've been targeted by predatory trolls. I have a post. It's happened to me 3 times since I wrote iPredator, but these are online users that not only go after you and go after your social accounts, but they go after your job, they contact your loved ones, they contact people that you're involved with, and they do everything possible to take out your livelihood. If successful, is to get you fired, to
It's
really
happening.
take out your whole sense, everything that you've lived and done to be able to achieve where you are. The predatory troll is looking to really decimate you. Not just take out, not just to destroy your digital reputation, but actually to get you involved in divorce, to
It
be able
is,
to get you
I've
fired.
right now what's happening by certain institutions is there is rampant doxing of people who are revealing information that is complete, that should be public. There's doxing of those people, there's doxing of their families, there's leaving,
Yes.
trying to destroy a woman's husband's business by leaving all one-star reviews.
Yes.
So just trying to ruin the business. There's been widespread swatting going on right now. I am absolutely beside myself with the level of vitriol and violence. This is violence. Swatting is an attempt, it's attempted murder.
Yes.
And it's obviously, neither of us has said it yet. Do not hesitate. You have to contact law enforcement. Bring the authorities into this. You have to protect yourself and your family. Yes, I love what you're doing and I love how you can help, but please, law enforcement has to get involved.
Always.
If there is any hint of threat, criminal, physical, whatever it is, please.
And many of the people that I've helped over the years, they've gone to law enforcement, and unfortunately, it falls on deaf ears. So it's understanding, even if it means you're only getting a police report or
Yes.
something, it is crucial to engage law enforcement. And then obviously, if you have the finances and the wherewithal, it's then moving into the realm of civil lawsuits, so forth and so on. But the point is, and you bring it up, like with this, the predatory troll is an extremely dangerous eye predator. And that's why it said that is something we could do a whole show on, because the predatory troll is looking to just completely not only decimate and take out your reputation, but is to get you fired. And if they're successful, is destroy your life.
And you know, I was making light a little bit because obviously being an internet troll is not the same thing. Being an internet troll, like, you know, just that annoying guy who posted something, you know, disagreeing with someone or whatever, not the same thing as a pre like we're talking about malice, threats, like just disgusting, abhorrent behavior that should never be able to hide behind a mask of anonymity. It's
Exactly. The predatory troll is very much like a cyber stalker, but the predatory troll has more of a goodness, more of a psychopath. They really are looking to destroy you. And they may not have even met you ever, but yet that becomes their goal. And they will exert energy, effort, and oftentimes the almighty dollar, all for the sole purpose of destroying your reputation, your integrity, and your livelihood.
And this is, it's sick because with this happening, what's happening right now is because people disagree with the political view, because people disagree with, the weirdest one is people disagree with government exposure. They disagree with someone exposing malfeasance that's been persistent in the government, exposing corruption, rot. You know, things that should have been stopped years ago. One woman, literally, she's not Doge or anything like that, literally just runs through the databases and says where people are, where there's graft, and they're doxing her and her husband. And it makes me, that's not America. That's not what we are. That's not how we do it. So, but that, yeah, because. And I'm doing this one last time just because there is such a distinction between just being like a troll, as it's conventionally used, kind of making jokes at people, poking fun at each other, being a jerk. That's what I kind of just being a jerk and like, you know, like being like a jerk the way we are in, you know, elementary school, but not toxic. And then these deviants who are trying to physically destroy a person's life or take their life. Like it is, yeah, it's really, it's a shame. That's all. It's a shame.
And then that speaks to what we talked about a little bit before, is that to the level that some people will go to destroy you, when it's all occurring behind devices and social media and their net. I mean, what does that say about these individuals? You know, are they what, just access to narcissistic personality, antisocial? To me, there is, and I've learned over the years, and again, I don't like to use the term evil from just a religious theological standpoint, but I believe that there is somehow, and I can't explain it yet, maybe the indirectness or the fact that I yet can explain it, but I've seen and I've helped people that you just can't believe what one person or persons have done to others. I mean, it is truly evil.
It's even more amazing the way they justify it to themselves. It's, they honestly, you know, right here, what they're doing, they believe that the forces that the people they're going after represent forces that are harmful to this country. They think they're doing God's work.
Exactly. And that's
These
the dark
people,
tension. Yes, that's the
these people.
Machiavellian. The ends justify the means. The psychopathic is target is, you know, this has to be done, and there's no remorse, there's no shame. And then if you really want to get into the deviance of the dark tetrad, the sadistic is the enjoyment I feel by ruining your life. You know,
It's the
that
power.
is the
These are powerless,
yes.
weak worms of people.
Yes.
And it's, and I'm all sunshine and light, but these people are not good.
Correct.
Yeah. So
So there's your eye predator. And when it comes to the eye predator, it is on, just like everything in life, is on a continuum of mild all the way to the severe. You have children that are cyberbullies that do it once or twice. They do it because they want to be accepted by their friends at school. They think it's a joke, but then you have children that really are future access to antisocials or psychopaths, and they do it. They target fellow children, other children. Why? Because it feels good. Not just because they look cool in front of their friends, but because they feel good when they hurt you.
Yes, there are some people, and we don't have to go into it, but yeah, these are the same kids who are twisting mice's heads backwards. And there are some people who are born broken. And that, I can't think of a better way to put it. And I believe it's estimated about 1% of the population. Historically, societies had different ways of working with them depending on the society. And it's debatable. Some of them do turn into, like Dexter Morgan from that TV show would be an example of someone. I don't know how much of any of that I believe, but it is unfortunate, and we can only try our best.
The
So
question is, it's so. I mean, Robert Hare again. He is the father of psychopathy. He's like the guru when it comes to understanding the psychopath. And what he had said at any given time, between 1 and 3% of the general population are psychopaths or psychopathic. So what we're seeing is all of this has always occurred in the pre-information age, and I believe even at the beginning of human civilization, there were always these typologies of people. But now, given information technology, social media, and everything that can be done, obviously at a distance, okay, as like what we're doing right now, I believe it has accelerated it. And now, with virtual reality and artificial intelligence, to me, it's going to be a whole new ball game.
I do agree with you. It's there's been a weakening of society, weakening of societal bonds, weakening of familial bonds, less time spent in a family setting. So all of these are what strengthen morality, ethics, and community. And those are the bonds that hold and protect, and people have become. So now you're isolated.
Yes.
And what are you when you're isolated? You're alone, you're angry, you're powerless. You see someone who's happy and you're like, I'm gonna take their happiness.
Yes. Well, matter of fact, on my odor page, Offline Distress Dictates Online Response, I have psychological isolation. To be psychologically isolated, you can be in a full to the max Yankee stadium with several thousand people sitting around you. And psychological isolation is between the ears. So you can be in a large group of people and still be isolated. But when a person feels isolated, that is when the probability of engaging in self-destructive or destructive, behavior goes up. Why? Not to go too much. I mean, Alfred Adler, my doctorate degree was from Adler University. Alfred Adler believed we come into this world and we go into this world. We are social pack animals. We are social creatures. And what we look for are to be accepted, to be recognized, and to be part of. And that's what Alfred Adler believed. Everything we do in our existence is to be part of a group, to be accepted, to be recognized. And what Adler said is we will even go to what he called the useless side of life, which is to go into crime, into deviance, into negative, behaviors for what? To be recognized. And when
Yes.
we look at, and this is my forensics history, when we look at mass shooters, your Adam Lanzas, your Jared Loughners, when you look at what they went through as children, most of them, the Anders Breivik, the Norwegian, they all were isolated in some way, shape, manner, or form. And that's now we're dealing with information technology, where if I'm one of these individuals where I feel odor, if I feel isolated and I'm angry at whatever I'm angry at, what I can do now is I can go online and guess what, Chris? I can find somebody who agrees with me. And what does that give me? Validation. And once I have validation, and whatever ridiculous theory or philosophy, whatever ideology I have, how no matter how extreme I am in my thought, I can find you online. And once we agree, we now have consensus. And that to me is where the internet and information technology has changed everything.
Absolutely. So
In a pre-information age world, if you were a pedophile or a sexual deviant, okay, obviously you had to do it behind closed doors. Okay. You did it within your community, you did it with amongst your peers, within your family, so forth and so on. Nowadays, I can find it online. Now, I may have to go to the dark web, but I could certainly find others who love 5-year-olds just as
are
much
you
as.
kidding me? They're pushing it mainstream and calling it minor attracted persons. Don't get me started.
I
But on that note,
Yes.
Michael, it's been an absolute pleasure. I look forward to our next talk. I'd love to go into a lot more of this. Please tell people how they can contact you. I'm also going to post your information.
Thank you.
So.
Well, the best way is, like I said, at the website. It is ipredator.co.net or .org. And there, everything at my website is free. It's public domain, and you don't even have to give any personal information or an email address in order to download my work. So it's ipredator.co.org or .net.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for appearing. I love your passion. I love what you're doing. I love the way you're giving back in an area that is touches so many people. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Thank you.